Good morning, and welcome to Sunrise Baptist Church. And truly, it is a great morning to know that, you know, soon we will be back together worshiping in person. And that'll be just a great day to truly celebrate. But as we gather together this morning, we are truly blessed that God has given His word to us this morning, that we can be encouraged, strengthened, and just empowered about walking through His word and allowing it to be lived out in our lives. So join with me in prayer, and we'll get right into it. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful for this morning. We are grateful for Your word, and we are so happy, God, for You being in our lives, and for Your very word that truly comes and just transforms us and changes us, lifts us up, Father, so that, Lord, You are honored, and that it just gives us an opportunity to allow Your word to touch other people's lives, especially in the midst of just this grueling time of being isolated. Lord, we look forward to Your word, and may it just speak to us this morning. Through Your Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, have you ever been in a position on having to choose who you want to be a part of a particular activity or club? And hopefully that kind of draws you your attention to the whole idea of something that I've learned over the years. And that is society, right? They have particular protocols when choosing who should belong and who should not when it comes to being a part of a country club or a men's club or a small group, you know, joining into a particular weekly or monthly activity, such as a sports activity. You know, you're on the playground and you're going to do kickball, or you're going to go out to the court and play some basketball, and you pick and choose who you're going to call to invite out for that event. Because it's just, you use a certain standard protocol on how you choose who you want there. Right? We are picky and choosy on who we feel should belong. We come to another moment where Jesus speaks and teaches a valuable lesson for us in being the disciples of Christ. And so here in Mark 2, verses 13 to 17, so I'd like to have you just open up your Bibles and follow along with me. This particular part where Jesus teaches and speaks, He's calling out to a man called Levi. And He says, "Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to Him, and He began to teach them. As He walked along, He saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. 'Follow me,' Jesus told him. And Levi got up and followed Him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with Him and His disciples, for there were many who had followed Him. When the teachers of the law, who were the Pharisees, saw Him eating with sinners and tax collectors, they asked His disciples, 'Why does He eat with tax collectors and sinners?' On hearing this, Jesus said to them, 'It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners.'" Jesus speaks of those who are the choosers, those who belong or don't belong. Once again, Jesus is taking the perfect opportunity here to teach. Jesus is in the position of being a chooser. He's decided who gets to be a part of the kingdom, right, to be his disciples. He comes and he sees a tax collector, Levi, who is truly despised and hated in the community. Thinking about that, I want to pause for a moment. I want you to think about you being in that position, being the chooser for your group or club. What protocol or what type of person would you be looking for? As Jesus is walking along in his travels, preaching and healing, he called people to follow. He called Simon and Andrew, also James and John. They were solid people within society. They weren't the elite, but they were in a position that was well respected. They were fishermen. We are that position. We are in that opportunity today that Jesus wants us to call people to follow him. In Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20, it calls us, right, to become his disciples, to go and make disciples. And in Mark 16, verses 15 to 16, it says to also to enjoy his salvation, to come and be his disciples and to enjoy his salvation. Today, that's the role that we get to play. So who are suitable prospects? Who are the suitable people for discipleship and salvation? We might think those who are religiously inclined or of good moral standard. That might be the protocol in which we lean towards. The, you know, dirty, sinful, you know, immorality, idolater, individual, we may not lean towards. That we may say, you know, I'm not going to incline to reach out to that particular person because they just don't fit the mold. But our text, for in Mark 2, cautions us not to limit who should belong or not, who should be a disciple or not a disciple. Jesus calls the tax collector. He saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office or booth. And who really is this tax collector that Jesus is choosing, calling to follow him? Levi was not pursuing Christ, nor was he getting himself ready to actually even meet him. He was there doing his job. This tax collector, who would have been seen as a traitor, who was despised by his countrymen for associating with Gentiles and participating in extortion, he was in the pit of darkness, a willing and eager part of the Roman political machine. This tax collector is better known as Matthew, the apostle and gospel writer of Matthew. I want you to take in a moment and just take that in. A despised tax collector became a writer of the Gospel of Matthew. He was put in the same class as sinners and harlots, classed together with sinners, and yet Jesus calls him to become a disciple. Jesus says, Levi, hey, you, Levi, follow me. And Levi left all and followed him. If you are out picking people right now to be disciples, would this be a person you would choose? He was not someone you might consider having, in a sense, potential as a follower of Christ. What ends up happening when we're in this role, in this opportunity, we are to be his voice. Jesus calls us to go and call people to be followers of him. The tax collector then hosts Jesus. He holds a great feast in his house for Jesus. And who were there at that feast? The disciples, right? Other believers? Yes. There were also many other despicable, degrading, sinful people who joined them. Other tax collectors and sinners. Let's again just take a moment. You are hosting a barbecue at your home, about to have a great feast. What neighbors would you choose to invite? Who would you want to be present? At this moment, we hear of the scribes and Pharisees being in shock. They asked Jesus' disciples, why would he be eating with such disgusting lowlifes, sinners? Jesus' ears perk up, and he overhears the complaining of the Pharisees. And this is Jesus' response. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus' words reveal why Levi, Matthew, was a perfect person to come to be a disciple, to come and be a child of God. Jesus calls us to go and call people to be followers of him, to be his voice and the message of the gospel. See, he comes and he calls Levi. Levi drops and leaves everything. Truly a well-good, sustainable position. But he stops and goes and he invites everyone that he knows, other tax collectors, neighbors, friends, says, come. I want you to hear. I want you to know Jesus just as now that I have come to know him. Levi became Jesus' voice to call, to invite others to have the same opportunity that he had. What do we hear Jesus teaching us within his response? We are to be also his eyes, looking for sinners, just like Jesus. He says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus tells his purpose in Luke 19:10 that he came to seek and save the lost. This gives us great hope to those burdened by guilt of their sin. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick do. Sin, like sickness, is very disabling. right? A sick man, and I know all of us have been sick at one point in our lives. A sick man cannot carry burdens, climb mountains, run in service, walk with perseverance, or even leap for joy. Us men are the worst when it comes to being sick. We moan and we groan, and it just hurts us so much to try and even get off the couch or out of bed and help with the kids or, you know, do whatever we've been asked. It's like we are laid out for days at a time. But of course, our wives are still, even in the midst of being sick, are, you know, still making dinner, still making lunches, still doing laundry. They are just incredible beings. But in regards to the disease of sin, we are all sick. We read in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have all sinned, right? And we are all sinners. It just so happened that we have met our physician. We have come and been healed and been given a new life. Have you ever helped someone get to a doctor's appointment? Or someone help you get to a doctor's appointment? We are here to help those get to the great physician who is ready to heal those willing to repent of sin. If you are burdened and suffering because of sin, Jesus is looking for you. He's also looking to us to be of assistance. We are his eyes. We are his voice when it comes to being able to come to those and call them to follow Jesus. And to be that assistance, we are friends of opportunity. That was Levi. Right? Levi, Matthew, provides a wonderful method of personal evangelism. He invited friends and co-workers to his home to provide an opportunity for them to hear Jesus. Inviting family, friends, neighbors to your home for that barbecue, to build relationships and a way to be able to share the gospel. The last Grey Cup was held right here in Calgary. And the Saturday morning before every Grey Cup, Athletes in Action hosts a breakfast where Christian athletes and coaches from both teams come and share their testimony. I've had the privilege of attending a few of these breakfasts throughout the years. This was an opportunity. I was a friend of Jesus who had an opportunity. I've used that opportunity of going to that breakfast to invite some of my friends and family to hear the stories of the athletes and coaches and their journey and relationship with Jesus Christ. Just like Levi, Jesus called him, he saw him, he called him to follow. And as he came to follow, he then, as he became a friend of Jesus, now became an opportunity. We are friends of opportunity for people to be able to hear the gospel. Now, an important point I want to share with you, and it is something that was truly a heavy topic during my college days. The topic was that we are to be separate and not isolated. The Bible teaches the principle of separation. The scripture tells us that bad company, evil company, can corrupt good habits. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." See, we are to be separate, not unequally yoked with unbelievers. And what I mean by that, in 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 to 18, right, it shares, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever?" Now, please don't confuse us with saying you are no longer allowed to engage, participate, have relationships that are outside of your faith, that are outside of a Christian believer. Separation does not involve total isolation. We are called to be light, for us to shine on a hill, not to cover it up so it can't be seen or experienced. It was important to Jesus and his disciples. They were willing to eat with sinners, to heal those sick with sin. We must be willing to spend time with them. We are the opportunity. We are not to put ourselves into a bubble and isolate ourselves. We are different, yes, because of our faith and the life that we are choosing to live when we come to follow Christ and be obedient. So who gets to belong to the kingdom? A select few? The elite? Only the morally good? Do we pick who gets in or who doesn't? Jesus calls all of us to go and make disciples. I've had numerous surgeries on my knees, and the surgeons have done an amazing work healing right up so I could continue to perform at an elite level in athletics. So what I have done is I've gone and I've recommended to everyone, not just a select few, to go and see my great orthopedic physician because I wanted them to be healed as good as I was. Jesus wasn't picky or choosy when he walked up to Levi. Jesus wants everyone to come to know him. And Levi, finding out how incredible of a great physician that he was, he then went and told others, going, "Hey, you have to come and meet this great physician who heals the sick, who heals the sin in our lives." Will all make the choice to follow Christ? No, they won't. But Jesus wants them to have the opportunity. We are that voice. We are his eyes looking. And we are the opportunity. Concluding, Jesus' interaction with the tax collector should serve as a reminder to us that we are his voice, his eyes, and to be his friends of opportunity. Not being isolated and closed off, but willing and available. As it is, Jesus is described as being friends of sinners. We're to be friends with people so that our lives can be reflection to them of who Jesus is. And that to be a help of drawing them to Jesus. We should never be too busy to serve Jesus. We must be willing to reach out to those who are lost, who are sick. Don't be selective. Know that anyone can be someone he wants you to reach out to. Family, friends, neighbors, coworkers. You never know at one moment or at what time he may use you. When you see a particular person and God calls you to go and call him to come and follow him. But how about you? Are you willing to let Jesus be your great physician? He is calling you, just like he called out to Levi, to follow him. Will you let him heal you? Mend your brokenness. Give you freedom from your sin. I would invite you to come and let him give you new life. See, if you're listening, God has been looking for you. And he's using this opportunity to call out to you. Will you receive that call? I invite you to pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that, Lord, you are not selective. That you desire, Lord, to look beyond who we truly are. Through the grime and the dirt and the foulness, Father, of our very being. To come and call us to be your disciples. To call and for us to be a friend. To be given new life. We truly, Lord, just take this opportunity and thank you. If we already, Father, have come to be your child. But Lord, if we are not yet your child, your disciple, may we truly reach out and truly hear your calling, each and every one to you. May we come and ask forgiveness for our sins and for you to be Lord of our lives. And that, Lord, we would be your friends of opportunity to hear and know this incredible message of forgiveness and grace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm so grateful that you have joined us this morning. And may you just be blessed and encouraged as you look for opportunities to be the hands and feet of Christ, for people to be able to come and see Jesus and hear about Jesus through you. And if you have come and made this commitment, just like Levi, to follow Jesus, I encourage you, reach out to me. I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to walk with you in this new step, in this new journey of yours. And as well, if others are needing prayer, don't hesitate to reach out. We as a church want to walk with you We know that life brings a lot of trials and struggles. And that's why we come together. Even though, Father, or that we can't meet together and pray with the Father, we can be praying in our own homes for you. So may you again walk into this week knowing that you are loved by an incredible Heavenly Father, and look forward to soon gathering together. So God bless you.